This is the award-winning Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM, KODI, and 1140 AM, KZMQ.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Darren Dudrick. If you have a comment or a question, you may call us at 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. Speak Your Peace is brought to you by Tim Mayhew of Level 4 Wealth Management, downtown Cody. Call today for a no-cost, no-obligation consultation, 586-2700. And also brought to you in part by First Bank of Wyoming, your home lending partner in town. Once again, the phone number is 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. When calling, we ask callers to please tell us your first and last name. We limit callers to one call per show. Today's guests on Speak Your Peace, well, we have three candidates, and I'm only kidding. We're from the city of Cody. We have City Administrator Barry Cook. We have Parks, Recreation, and Public Facilities Director Rick Manchester and City Planner Todd Stoll. Gentlemen, how are you guys doing today?
Good morning. Very well. Thank you.
Well, thanks for coming in and give us a break from election stuff. We take this as kind of a break, believe it or not, with the city. But you guys had a council meeting last night, Barry, and I understand it went to about, what, an hour? And that's it, huh? The alarm went off and everybody went home.
Goes off at 8 o'clock and it's time to adjourn the meeting.
Yeah. So I'll let you talk about what went on at the council meeting last night to give people an update in case they were unable to watch it or attend it. Go ahead.
Certainly. We had the on the consent agenda with the minutes. Approval of the minutes was the first thing on the agenda from the last council meeting and workshop 2 weeks ago. And then we have an agreement between the Shoshone Rec District and the City of Cody to provide services and recreational assistance to the Cody Rec Center. There was some language that our city attorney wanted to modify that, so that was taken off consent and approved with condition that their attorney would modify some of that language. Right now, that out of one mill levy that is assessed in Park County through the school district, the Shoshone Rec Board provides 32% of that mill to the city of Cody for operations and improvements to the recreation center. And there's some language there that we would like to modify and just provide a little bit more flexibility. Other than that, a very good working relationship that we've had over the years with them. They provide a lot of grants to groups and organizations throughout Cody, and we appreciate their assistance. And we just have that working agreement that is authorized or approved every year. The next two items were football season's coming up, and so there was a request for closing Beck Avenue between 8th and 9th for the tailgate parties on the home games of August 31st, September 7th, October 19th, I believe, are the home games. I think there are four of them. But we provide the barricades to close that one block area off for tailgate partying, and then they provide the assistance in monitoring the traffic there and everything. So City Council did approve that. Also, the request for the homecoming parade on Friday, September 28th, 1 p.m., contingent upon WIDOT approval, which they do have, and the liability insurance and everything that's secured through the WIDOT permit system. And so they were awarded the ability to do that on Sheridan Avenue for September 28th for the homecoming parade. So that was approved as well. We also have an agreement, or actually a grant from the Wyoming Association of Sheriffs and Police Association, the state of Wyoming, for alcohol inspection and tobacco inspection. I think it's about $4,250, I believe it is, for alcohol and tobacco inspection. We have to do that twice a year beginning, I think, in July 1st. So that will be twice a year between June 30th, 2019. We provide the officer that conducts that and some of the underage just to go in and try to purchase alcohol. For those bars and establishments that don't, we provide a $10 gift certificate for they don't do it. If they do it, we inform them that their servers are serving somebody underage and they would probably need to go through some tips training or something like that, be more aware of ID situations.
Those happen every year?
Every year.
Okay, they're
right,
consistent. Okay.
Consistent. We do alcohol checks twice a year between now and December 31st and then also in the spring, and we do the tobacco checks once a year.
Okay.
We approved the the promissory note, clean water revolving loan fund. As you know, under phase one, We secured funding from the State Land Investment Board for a grant, and we also had a $1.8 million loan from the Clean Water Revolving Loan Fund. When we turned back about $163,000 because the project was under budget, and we returned that to the State Land Investment Board, that changed our funding mechanism for the loan. And so we're going to be able to redo that agreement or loan payments, and so we're saving about $12,000 a year for those loan payments because of the project being under budget. So that's a double savings on both sides for the grant and also for the loan. So that was a very good thing for the city of Cody. So those loan payments have been reduced and have been changed. We approved an application to set up some investment options with Morton Capital. They currently have a pretty good presence in the state of Wyoming and sought us out and would like us to look at some different options as far as our investments. So we're going to be exploring that, and council agreed for us to go ahead and make that agreement and move forward with that. We approved we had a situation where a truck struck a city light pole. Their insurance asked us to release that with a damage report, which we did. The insurance will cover that payment. Sure, I can't remember how much the cost of that was, but anyway, that was approved as well. So that included our consent agenda. We did not have any public hearings for any ordinances or any other items. We went right into conduct of business. We approved a taxi cab license to NNP Luxury Transportation. He's an Uber driver, and he wants to provide services for the citizens in Cody, around Cody, and long distance, and he provided the rates. And we require a taxi cab license for being able to do. Uber drivers don't have to have a taxi cab license, but he's seeking one out.
How many Uber drivers are there in Cody? Do we know?
I think one or two. I believe.
Really?
We've had that.
Nice. Okay.
Uh-huh. So it's rates and his insurance and his background checks are all been approved, and so they did a grant that license as well. Rick may want to talk about this. There's been a request from several patrons of the rec center to open up a half an hour earlier. Currently, we open up at 5:30 in the morning, Monday through Friday, and it provides exercise opportunities for those who want to work out really early in the morning. So there's a request to move that up a half hour to 5 o'clock and to also expand the hours on New Year's Day. A couple of years ago, we closed the rec center several holidays in order to save some funding in our general fund, and so there has been a request that we would modify that and consider opening up on New Year's Day. I think it's from 6 to 6 or something like that, I believe it was. So council did approve that, and so we'll be monitoring that. The anticipated soft cost on that would be about $1,800 to $2,000, so we can modify the hours of our staff, and so it's not going to be a huge expense to modify those hours back again. We had a budget amendment, a lot of carryover projects, a lot of grants that we received that didn't get completed in the last year's budget. The bottom line, it's about a $300,000 increase in revenue and about a $900,000 increase in expenditures. So it required about $600,000 transfer out of the unrestricted reserve into our new budget because a lot of the projects weren't completed and some of the expenditures were a little bit different than we anticipated. So out of a $34 million budget, I think that's pretty good. So
sure.
I think that's a really good use of city funds throughout the budget year. First reading on the accessory dwelling unit provision, trying to clarify the definitions and make the process more clear as far as how they operate with planned unit developments in the city that are requested by the developer. And then finally, the two ordinances on housekeeping on interference with our code officer, those were passed on third and final reading.
Did you say, Barry, that the council okayed the changing of the hours of the rec center to 5?
They did.
Okay.
They did approve that.
Now, you said financially, that's not good. Because the rec center, anything with the rec center is a big deal to a lot of people. Cost-wise, it's not that huge of a...
It's about $40 a day.
$40 a day?
Yeah.
Okay, so not...
Yeah. And I got to chime in because everyone's taking my material, Darren.
I'll let him go for it. I'll leave him.
You got to copyright your material there.
I know.
And
Rick,
you can, sue or whatever. You know.
Well, and they came in. Our staff came in yesterday.
On the party line, yeah.
Both guys came in. So I was just they're all taking my material.
But see, here's what you do, though, Rick. You got them doing that, then you got Barry doing that, then me asking the question. You could just correct everybody if they do something wrong. You have you going last, so you can just fill in the blanks.
I could, but I noticed you didn't have my microphone on. So,
I knew you were going to chime in, so I had it potted down pretty low, so we can hear you kind of in the distance, you know, out there in Powell somewhere. But so you're going to go to 5 o'clock, and is that not much of a deal? Has it been open at 5 before? Have you guys done that before?
No.
This will be the first time, huh?
Yeah, first time in 17 years, which is our anniversary. So we've had many, many requests, and for whatever reason, we didn't have staff that could do it. We didn't have materials. We didn't have the budget. We didn't want to send the wrong message, but it just felt like this is the right time to make it happen. So,
no, and was there a lot of people that attend that go to the rec center that requested this, or did you just have a couple, or how did that work?
I mean, a handful.
Handful.
It's more one of those services that we can do without breaking the bank.
Okay.
For the last 2 or 3 years, we've been in kind of pullback mode, and we had to reduce childcare or eliminate childcare from the program. We reduced hours on the holidays, so we're closed on the actual 4th of July, the Christmas Day. And the New Year's Day opening is more of the way it fits with the holiday season. It kind of bounced around between what we can do and just having the New Year's Day and needing – we have people there working anyway again, so –
The challenge is, I'm just curious, we've got a phone call, I'll take that in a second, but with so many people working on New Year's Day, since it's a holiday, are you having to pay time and a half?
That weighs into it, yes.
Okay, so there is a cost associated with it, but all this stuff obviously has been worked out, and it's not break, like you said, breaking the bank.
Right. It's we're trying to improve services where we can.
Okay, let's go to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
Judy Frisbee.
Hey, Judy.
Good morning. I've got a question. You said that on the Shoshone Rec District, 32% of the money is what?
32% of the mill levy that is assessed goes to the operation maintenance or to the Cody Rec Center.
The Shoshone Rec District receives one mill for for the services they provide.
Okay. And then you said that you wanted... What is it used for now?
The mill?
Yes.
Ever since it started, it's been used for recreation services.
And you wanted it to be more flexible, so what will it be used for in the future?
Again, just all recreation programs. So we have baseball. In fact, we were going to talk about that a little bit here in a minute. The baseball organizations, there's dance studio, the senior center gets submits a grant, and oftentimes they receive the money. Soccer, and that the mill will pay for equipment for the baseball programs. Liability insurance is an eligible expense. Aquatics, they get swim lessons from the. That are paid for from the Shoshone Rec District. We have about 40 different programs that receive money from the Shoshone Rec District.
I'm not following this whole thing because it said, you know, that you had the money and you wanted more flexibility. So what will the new things be that weren't there before?
Well, I'm getting hung up on, I'm not sure what you mean by flexibility.
Well, that's the way I think Barry reported it. He said that you asked for this change so that there could be more flexibility.
I must have misunderstood that because it's to get people in there 5 o'clock instead of 5:30 and be open for using the rec center, dry side and wet side. Actually, the wet side will still stay open at 5:30, so just the dry side at 5 o'clock.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Judy. And we're going to dive into more of the rec district here after the break. And anything about the change of hours and Rick that you wanted to add that we didn't touch on? I mean, for the most part, it sounds like it's just something that you felt the rec center could do. That's why the council, I should say, agreed to do it.
Yeah. The membership, we had, like I said, we've had several requests to open at 5 o'clock. And and begin their day earlier because they're finding that there's just not enough room in the bathrooms at the same time, and there's not enough time before they pack it up and go to work.
Before we take a break, Todd, I was going to ask you on the council agenda. It's called amending the accessory dwelling unit provisions of this. What does that mean in terms that we can all understand?
I mean, yeah, good question. Okay, an accessory dwelling unit is basically your mother-in-law apartment or guest house.
Guest house, okay.
I guess think of it that way. It can be either interior to your residence, excuse me, or a separate building. What we've run into, I guess we've had some dispute as far as whether or not accessory dwelling units can be added to planned unit developments.
Okay.
Our position has been, if the planned unit development says it can, sure. But if it doesn't, then you'd have to amend that plan to allow accessory dwelling units. So really, this ordinance just kind of restates that.
Restates that. Okay. We're going to take a quick break on Speaker Piece. If you'd like to join the conversation today with the City of Cody, give us a call, 587-1400. We're back with more Speaker Piece right after these messages.
The views and or opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views and or opinions of this station or its advertisers.
Before you step into the voting booth, do you know your candidate for House District 24?
Hi, I'm Denise Shirley, and I am your candidate.
Denise Shirley has ideas for creating new Park County jobs. Denise Shirley wants to find a way to balance the budget without new taxes. Denise Shirley has ideas for different education opportunities. Denise Shirley supports the Second Amendment, law enforcement, and military as Christian values and is pro-life. Learn more about your candidate on Facebook at Denise Shirley for House Seat 24.
Paid for by Denise Shirley for House District 24.
Attention Park County residents! Property taxes must be paid before the tax sale Wednesday, August 15th at 8 a.m. Check the newspaper, website, or call the treasurer's office. Make sure your property taxes are paid.
Car crashes don't happen in slow motion. They happen fast. In a crash, there's no time to check if your child's in the right car seat. Don't think you know. Know you know. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We know Mark Gordon brings real experience in agriculture, oil and gas, even service on the school board. As a savvy state treasurer delivering record investment returns, he knows how to manage Wyoming's budget. The Wyoming Tribune Eagle says Mark Gordon, quote, has a strong understanding of the challenges Wyoming faces. It's true. Mark Gordon knows Wyoming, and he'll be ready to tackle the challenges on day one. Mark Gordon, Republican for governor.
Paid for by friends of Mark Gordon.
Summer's approaching, and that means vacation. Remember, for best rates, book your flight early out of Yellowstone Regional Airport. With daily flights to Denver and Salt Lake City, you can start your next trip at YRA with a short drive, free parking, easy access to the terminal, and shorter lines. Then finish your trip by landing just minutes from home with your car a short walk away. Start and finish your vacation hassle-free at Yellowstone Regional Airport. On the web at flyyra.com.
This is Lauren Groskopf, Chairman of the Park County Commissioners. The majority of our county is federal lands. Oil and gas, ag, and tourism on these lands are major economic drivers of our economy. I worked with Joe Tilden as we represented the people of Park County during the BLM's resource management plan, the Forest Service's plan revision, delisting wolves and grizzly bears. He is the only candidate that has the knowledge and experience of the NEPA and Endangered Species Act processes. I urge you to re-elect Joe Tilden, a proven leader that will keep Park County strong. Paid for by Joe Tilden for Park County Commissioner.
When you need physical or occupational therapy, exercise your choice and choose Canyon Therapy. This is Allison Tipton, and our patient satisfaction is proof positive that we're a professional team of physical and occupational therapists with diverse experience. Our successful outcomes are just one reason why patients and doctors recommend our clinic. Let us help you get back to life. Canyon Therapy is conveniently located on Cody's West Strip. Call 587-9789. Relief, recovery, results.
Joining me is Sandy Newsom, a longtime Cody resident and Republican candidate for Wyoming House District 24. Sandy, what do you see as being the number one issue in the district you could work to improve in the legislature?
Budget concerns cut across every segment of the Wyoming economy. By adopting a business-like approach to the Wyoming budget, focus on the results we want to achieve instead of just maintaining spending levels. Business-like budgeting will identify measurable performance outcomes for programs funded and prioritize funding for those strategies that deliver the best results. I'm uniquely prepared to help navigate these challenging budgetary times. As the owner of successful businesses in Cody for over 30 years, my primary responsibility is to develop and implement long and short-term financial plans which assure our business success. The budget will transform from a spending document to a performance agreement with the taxpayers, focused on effectively and efficiently delivering core functions of government. I pledge to work diligently and put my business background to work for Cody, Park County, and all of Wyoming. Please vote for me, Sandy Newsom, on August 21st.
We are back on Speak Your Piece. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick. Today I'm visiting with, from the city of Cody, Barry Cook, Rick Manchester, and Todd Stoll. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. Let's go right to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
Hi, Darren. This is Woody Wilkerson.
Hey, Woody. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Good.
Hey, I wanted to talk about something that you guys haven't brought up yet that's coming up at the next work session that the city has coming up, which is this proposal for an ordinance to create short-term rental overlays. If people don't know what's going on here, what you guys have is an ordinance that makes it very easy for people to go into the short-term daily rental business in our residential neighborhoods. Right now they can't do it without getting a zoning change, which is extremely difficult, and this ordinance is going to make it extremely easy for anybody that wants to go into the daily rental.
Hey, Woody, can I tell you, can you turn down your radio a little bit? I think we're hearing some feedback.
Yeah, let me get in a different room.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Continue. You can continue.
Yeah, so, you know, these daily rentals, there's a lot of it going on in town in areas that are zoned for it now. The only places that can't do it are the residential areas that are zoned RR and R1. These are places where we bought houses to raise families and to retire that are supposed to be protected from this sort of stuff. Anybody that thinks this doesn't have a huge impact on residential areas needs to do a 5-minute internet search of the negative effect of these things. There's a mountain of stories of how these things destroy residential neighborhoods. And, you know, we bought these houses and moved into these houses based on ordinances that promised us we wouldn't be subjected to this. We've got communities all over the country that are having terrible problems from this and are trying to figure out how to get it under control and how to stop this problem. And we got the city of Cody that's trying to come up with a way to create the problem, looking at it going, gee, we need that problem. And I don't get it. We've relied on these zoning ordinances, and we need the city of Cody to keep their word on this. There's a lot of talk about protections to the people in the neighborhoods that aren't real. I have the ordinances in front of me, and these protections don't exist. Basically, anybody that wants to can go in and get this variance, and there's very little regulation on how to do it and what happens once it's done. And I don't think this should be happening. You know, there's a little bit of it going on illegally now in neighborhoods where it's not zoned, and it's causing the neighbors a lot of problems. And I know that Todd Stoll's aware of this, and probably everybody else in your room, and that's with one or two people that are being allowed to do it illegally because the city won't enforce their ordinances. I think this proposed ordinance is a disaster, and people need to know that it's up for a meeting coming up, and I hope somebody will specify, because I've heard two different dates, when that meeting is to discuss it. And I hope some people that live in these residential neighborhoods will show up and talk. And I want some explanation as to why somebody thinks this is a good idea when there's plenty of areas that are zoned for it now. And when the results are increased traffic, noise, parties, dangers. We got 10, 12 people at a time coming through our neighborhood for 2 days. 2 days later, 10 or 12 more. And we don't have a clue who any of them are, and we don't know a thing about them. And this is because of one guy that's being allowed to do it illegally. what's going to happen when everybody's allowed to do it? I want to know what the explanation is for this.
Barry or Todd, I don't know which one you want to respond first.
I will. The meeting will be Monday. We moved the workshop next week from Tuesday to Monday the 13th at 4:15. That item is on the agenda for further discussion. So, yes, anybody would like to come to that workshop Monday afternoon, 4:15, Council Chambers, that will be on the agenda.
Todd, did you want to respond to the zoning portion of that?
Yes, thanks. Okay, so we're, what Mr. Wilkerson explained is one side of the the issue. We have both sides that we have to deal with, you know, here at city staff. I want to give a little bit of background and clarification on what the actual proposal is. Basically, we've had experiences over the last couple of years with our new short-term rental registration process to where we've had instances where we've had to shut people down or have them modify the methods that they're using for their short-term rentals. Through that process, it was identified that the rezone option that people currently have, for example, say they're in a rural residential or R1 zone or even R2, and they want more flexibility or even the ability to do short-term rentals, their argument is their neighbors are okay with a short-term rental option, but they're not okay with all the extra baggage that comes along with the rezone. For example, if you rezone from R1, single-family residential zone, to an R3 zone so that you can do a non-owner-occupied short-term rental, well, that also opens it up for multifamily development, duplexes, other uses that effectively scare the neighborhood and would definitely change the character of the neighborhood. So the thing that we came up with was an overlay zone. It is an act. Sorry, my voice is a little rough here. We came up with the concept of an overlay zone, and how that works is it is an actual rezone process. So there would be notice to neighbors, public input. But what an overlay does is it lays over the top of the existing zone. So rather than having to go all the way from, for example, an R1 zone to an R3 zone, they could keep their R1 zone, but with the short-term rental overlay, they could operate a short-term rental in accordance with the regulations of the ordinance. We do have specific development standards that are proposed to apply in the overlay zone. For example, it could only be the person's primary residence. We have occupancy requirements, basically 2.6 guests per sleeping room. There is the safety and inspection process where we look at egress, you know, doors, windows, smoke detectors, carbon monoxide alarms, that kind of stuff. So the process, if a person were to get the overlay, would be similar to our current registration process. I know there are some people that are concerned that this really opens up the door. At this point, the City of Cody is not proposing to apply the overlay to any specific property. However, it would be, I guess, another tool in our tool bag if, you know, someone wanted to come in and request the zone. And I do want to emphasize that City Council has significant discretion as far as whether or not to zone a property. Just like a normal rezone, the overlay zone, they have that same discretion. So if it's not appropriate for a neighborhood, in their view, they don't have to approve it for pretty much whatever reason they have. If they don't like it, that's a good enough reason. So I guess I'm trying to point out that we are relying on the City Council members themselves if they were to receive an overlay zone application to have the discretion as to whether or not it would be appropriate for any specific neighborhood. Now, I know we do have one neighborhood that is kind of up in arms about an illegal short-term rental, and they're concerned that this overlay might be applied to that area. Again, the city's not proposing to apply that to the area at this point. The way the language is written, as far as the criteria to submit a rezone, the thought is, you know, we want it to be a neighborhood, not one property. So that's the concept, is if there's a specific neighborhood that thinks they're okay with short-term rentals and they want to come in and submit a rezone application for this overlay, it would be an option.
Woody, did that answer your concerns?
No, it brings up all of my concerns. You know, you can sit here and say that there's a process, but if you read that statute, what it says is an area, 75%, people who represent 75% of the land area in an area can apply. It does not define what an area is, which means one person can be an area if they want to. And I'm sure Todd's going to come back on and say, oh, we would never allow that. But it doesn't prohibit that in the statute. And not only that, it doesn't say 75% of the people in an area. It says people who own 75% of the land in an area, which means one big landowner can impose it on the other people. I can go down and pick the process for applying. You have to be, it has to be your primary residence in order to operate the short-term rental, but it doesn't have to be your primary residence in order to apply for the overlay. Why not? I mean, anybody can do this. And why do you even need it at all? I think the base premises that all the people in the residences want this is false. I've talked to 30 people in the last week that live in RR and R1, and not a one of them wants this. There's one or two greedy people who want to make an easy buck doing something that was specifically prohibited by this city council 11 years ago when it started coming up, because it doesn't belong in our residences ever. And to create a statute that makes it easy based on an assumption that a bunch of people, that everybody wants it, is not right. Nobody wants this except for a handful of greedy people. And I'll tell you, I can come up with 100 good ways for me to make money in my residential area that would be great ways for me to make money that don't belong in a residential area. If you want to do this, you buy a house in a place that's zoned for it, and you do it. The guy that's doing it illegally now has a $500,000 house that he could sell and buy three of them where it's zoned for it and make more money than he's making now, but he just doesn't want to do it. There's ample opportunity to do this where it's zoned and where it's appropriate and where it won't destroy residential neighborhoods.
Hey, Woody, I got to let you go, but I appreciate the phone call.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Todd or Barry, I'll let you, one of you to respond if you'd like to that, to follow up on that. Anything you want to respond to that, Todd or Barry?
No, I don't think so. You know, I think Todd explained the process. You know, Woody disagrees with allowing that. Certainly the purity of an R1 zone has always been there. That's correct. However, there are some situations where people feel that, you know, I'm okay with a short-term rental, but I don't want anything else. So we tried to create a mechanism without having to go through a zone change, which would open the door for a lot of other things that people don't want. But if they are concerned about short-term rentals, again, it would take 75 or 70% of the property owners to agree to do that. So there is a checks and balances mechanism. Maybe it's not tight enough. Maybe it needs to be modified. You know, that's why we have workshops and debate the issue.
And that's the workshop, again, for this particular issue is going to be brought up again this coming Monday.
This coming Monday.
At 4:15?
4:15.
At the council chambers.
That is correct.
So if anybody out there listening wants to chime in for or against this, that's a golden opportunity to do so. Todd, anything else before we get to the Shoshone Rec District? Anything else you want to?
Real briefly on the process part of that. At this point, we haven't even advertised a public hearing. It's really city council discussing whether or not they want to even put it on the agenda.
So it may not even be put on the agenda at all.
Yeah,
maybe kind of
exactly. So we're still pretty preliminary in the discussions. The exact language could be entirely different. They may not want to proceed. Maybe they will.
That's why we have That's why we have workshops. You know, the workshop is to debate the issue and take a look at it. If council feels comfortable with it and say put it on the next workshop, fine, we move forward with it. They say no, it needs more work, or no, this is an idea we don't want to pursue, then we shelve it. And so, you know, it hasn't come before council at a workshop yet. It's certainly still in the drafting stage and discussion stage, and That will continue on Monday the 13th.
And that's why it's so important for people when they have concerns like this is to come to these workshops, regardless of what the issue is.
Yeah.
That's being proactive as opposed to allowing an ordinance be passed and approved, then coming when something is being enforced.
You workshop it twice. You run through three readings, and then all of a sudden somebody's concerned about it. That's a little late. The process has taken over a couple months. So if you have serious concerns about it, come to the workshop and as we're looking at a draft form, and if that's something that the citizens of Cody don't want to move forward with, certainly let your council members know.
Now, Barry, I want to go back to something in the council agenda that we wanted to talk about. We got a call earlier on. It was regarding an agreement between the City of Cody and Shoshone Rec District. I don't know if there's a portion of that you wanted to discuss or more details about that, Barry. You wanted to, regarding the Shoshone Rec District, you wanted to clarify? Or
yeah, the language in the current agreement with the City of Cody and the Shoshone Rec District reads that whenever funding levels are sufficient, the Shoshone Rec District will allocate up to 32% of the annual mill levy. So the mill levy is generating about $140,000 a year. So 32% of that goes to the City of Cody's Recreation Center for revenue source. The concern is it says we'll allocate up to 32%. The concern from the city is that's not a firm figure. That could be 12. It could be 22. The Shoshone Rec District could say, well, this year we're only going to give you 12%, which says up to 32. It doesn't say it has to be 32. So we would like some language in there that secures that 32% a little bit more strongly than the current language does. And so we know we can count on that 32% revenue to operate the rec center, which is certainly could use all the revenue sources it could find. And that was, mill levy was set up to do that. So we're just simply trying to reword the wording there to secure that 32% more so than the current agreement states.
Okay, let's go to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
Hey, Darren, this is Buck Wilkerson.
Hey, Buck.
I listened to a conversation a minute ago between Woody and Barry, and Woody stressed the fact that this ordinance is written where it takes 75% of the land represented. In actuality, Barry came right back on afterwards and said it takes 75% of the landowners, property owners, and that's not the case. That's what he said the second time is wrong. Now, one thing that really has me concerned is all I have to do is walk into one of these areas, turn a home in the middle of a bunch of R1 or RR houses into a temporary rental business, and you're going to just knock the hell, excuse my French, out of the value of all of the surrounding property. This is very concerning to me.
Okay, Buck, hey, I appreciate it.
You bet.
Thanks for the call, sir.
Yep, bye.
We are going to take a quick break on Speaker Piece. When we get back, we will talk more on the other side about the Shoshone Rec District and take your calls. If you'd like to chime in today with the City of Cody, give us a call, 587-1400. We're back with more Speaker Piece right after these messages.
This is Joe Tilden. As a two-term county commissioner, I have balanced the county budget by making cuts when and where necessary. At the same time, maintaining and improving county infrastructure, I have fought hard to maintain a balance between conservation and development on our public lands, along with public access to those lands. I led the charge to create no-fee areas in certain undeveloped areas of Buffalo Bill State Park. I am a proven leader and will continue to represent all the people of Park County if reelected. I ask for your vote to keep Park County strong on August 21st, paid for by Joe Tilden for Park County Commissioner.
If you're in the market for a used vehicle, look no further than Garvin Motors in Powell. You'll find a great lineup of used vehicles at Garvin Motors with exceptional value, quality, and dependability. At Garvin Motors, their goal is to provide great prices in a relaxed, no-pressure atmosphere, making your car buying experience fun. Stop by Garvin Motors today and see their great selection or visit them online at garvinmotors.com. You'll be glad you did. Garvin Motors, located on West Coulter Avenue in Powell.
Joining me is Sandy Newsom, longtime Cody resident and Republican candidate for Wyoming House District 24. Sandy, the last legislative session was notorious for the disagreements between the House and Senate. If elected, would you work to improve relations with the other chamber? And if so, how?
I will bring common sense, collaboration, and compassion to the legislature. My experiences have taught me that when leaders put civility, people, and ideas first and move past pettiness and divisiveness, the possibilities of success are boundless. Campaigns might focus on personalities, but governing requires requires thoughtfulness and consensus building. Those who govern must lead serious discussions of ideas that make Wyoming a better place to live, work, and raise a family. This is the only way we can restore our citizens' trust and confidence in government. In my work on the tourism board and with Forward Cody, I've developed working relationships with many legislators. These established relationships will allow me to work with members of the Senate and the House. I pledge to work diligently and put my business background to work for Cody, Park County, and all of Wyoming. Please vote for me, Sandy Newsom, on August 21st.
Joe's Auto, best in the business for import car repairs. The 30-year legacy Joe created continues by offering you the finest in import car repair. And Dan Schoonover is the best in the business for alignments on all makes and models of cars and trucks. Take advantage of the August special for two-wheel alignment, just $65. Dalton and the crew at Joe's thanks you for your condolences and continues his legacy. Call Joe's Auto and Cody today, 587-3248.
Wyoming families work hard, plan for the future, and live within our means. Conservative Republican Foster Freese believes that government should do the same. Meet Foster Freese.
I'm Foster Freese. Everyone talks about stabilizing the state budget, but we first need to let you know what's in it. Wyoming is one of only three states that hasn't opened its books to the people. That's unacceptable.
As governor, Foster Freese will open the books, demanding full transparency and putting Wyoming taxpayers before special interests. Because that's the kind of accountability Wyoming families deserve.
I can't be bought. I'm not taking special interest money for my campaign, and as governor, I won't take a salary. It's time to take away special interest seat at the table and give it back to you.
Conservative Republican Foster Freese for governor. Paid for by Freese for governor. Approved by Foster Freese.
We are back on Speak Your Peace. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick. Today I'm visiting with, from the city of Cody, Barry Cook, Rick Manchester, and Todd Stoll. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. Tomorrow on Speak Your Peace, my guest will be Cody Beers of Wydot. Let's go right to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
Hi, this is Lisa Peterman.
Hi, Lisa.
Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hi. Hey, I did have a concern about the that proposed ordinance. You know, I work for Crisis Intervention Services, and we spend a lot of time trying to find people places to live in town. And my concern is that if all the littler houses in town get snapped up for Vrbo or Airbnb, you know, for tourists, that we'll lose a lot of low-income housing that's currently available, and it'll be even harder for us to help clients find places to live. So that's my concern about this ordinance. I do own, my husband and I own a couple of houses in town, and they're long-term rentals because we want to be good neighbors. And you know, if the situation ever, our health or whatever came up, we may have to move back to town because we live in Wapiti right now. But I wouldn't want to have to move back to one of my houses in town and then have a bunch of vacation rental by owner or Airbnbs all around me in my neighborhood. So that's just what I wanted to, my two cents.
Great. Thanks for the call, Lisa.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And again, we should remind people the meeting 4:15 on Monday. Is that right?
Correct.
4:15 Monday in the at the council chambers, correct? Let's go right to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
I'll give you my first name, Amy.
Okay, Amy, can you give us your last name?
No, and I've heard you let other callers off easy with this issue because I don't want my last name to cause an issue, but I'm not totally sure what your thing is, but I'm a landlord. I own a triplex, and I live in one of my units. My taxes have gone up. My property taxes have gone up $1,000 in the last 10 years. Doing Airbnb, and I'm only limited to being allowed to do it for 3 months because of the city ordinances. I can't afford my property taxes to keep going up. I'm disabled, and my income does not go up. So, you know, it's nice that that other lady is able to afford multiple properties and live in Wapiti, but you can't tell other people what to do with their properties as far, and it's gone far enough. as far as the city of Cody goes, this is not the way I'm from here. These ordinances are not the way city of Cody should be run by the people that have lived here since their ancestors homesteaded back in the early 1900s.
So you support the short-term rental?
I do, because okay. I'm being priced out of them. I'm being priced out of Cody.
Okay.
I'm going to have to leave my hometown because of the taxes if I'm not allowed to do short-term rentals. And these people that are low income, they can't afford to live in Cody. We have a lot. You may not know how many low income, how much low income housing we have in Cody, but they can't afford to live here as it is.
Okay, well, Amy, you know, I appreciate the phone call. That's the other side of the issue. There's somebody that supports it.
Thanks
for the call. Okay, you got somebody that supports it, and I think that's typical. You're going to have some that favor it, some that don't. So that'll all be talked about again Monday at 4:15 at the council chambers. Anybody out there listening that has a viewpoint for or against, do we encourage, and I'm sure the city very encourages people to come to these public workshops.
Sure.
These are very important. Now, I want to go to the Shoshone Rec District. I know, Rick, you got a few minutes here to tell us about what's going on. Tell us about the Rec District.
Periodically, the Rec District and the city work out an agreement, and the agreement about every 2 to 3 years. So the Rec District wants to be able to provide those recreation services, and we talk about being 32%, but the reality is that the Rec District provides a city more often up to maybe 60, 70, and even some years as much as 90% of what their budget is comes back to a city project or city program. So that's where we want to be sensitive that everyone is able to do what they think is important and go from there.
We should point out that for those that don't understand the basics, the Rec District is something separate from the city. Explain that. They're separate from the city code. It's a separate entity.
The Shoshone Rec District is its own taxing entity. It's under the school district.
Okay.
Is where the revenue gets deposited, and then they must use that for recreation purposes. So the
how long has it been around for, do you know?
Oh gosh,
it's been a while quite a while. It has a pretty rich history.
30 years, okay. 40 years,
okay.
Yeah, so that continues, and the rec center or the rec district and the city have worked very well together to come up with mutually acceptable terms. So that's a lot of fun. And you talk about rec center. There is so much recreation opportunity because of these organizations and these. This grant program.
They make it happen.
They make it happen.
Sure, sure.
They make it happen. So just on since I know I'm losing time, all of our grants go out and they must be approved in June and then they can start being used in July. Well, last week, I think we sent out all the letters saying, here, you've earned this much off your application. You can start billing it and the rec district will pay the cost of the project that they're working on at that time. So
okay. Well, anything else about the rec district that people should know about that's coming up or anything?
The last one is another recreation and opportunity is the Park County Park and Rec Board.
Oh, there's another one. Okay.
So instead of being a school district boundary or school district footprint, it's the county footprint. And they have, I think, 3/4 of a mil or 1/2 of a mil. And they're dedicated and committed to providing rec services also, but that's primarily for the county.
Throughout Park County. Okay.
Yes.
You know, Todd, I want to go back to you, and you said there's some upcoming projects that you wanted to let the public know about that I guess building or some activity going on?
Basically just let community know of different projects that are going around in the community.
Sure.
So planning and zoning meeting tomorrow, we have two projects that I'll mention. First one is a 5-unit little mini mall on East Sheridan Avenue on the Wilder property. That's directly on west of the dry cleaners.
Okay.
Basically that vacant property in there. We have the application in for review for planning and zoning tomorrow, about 7,800 square feet. The concept that I've heard is basically they like that East Sheridan Avenue corridor, with the pro build and the other contractor oriented home improvement type stores. So I guess the plan there is to kind of continue that concept, add additional space for those uses.
Nice. Okay.
So 5 units, or 5, yeah, I guess, 5 units, 7,800 square feet.
It's a little mini mall type thing.
Yeah, little mini mall. We also have a Tom Quick doing a project. He has property on the south end of Stone Street off of Bighorn, FedEx facility.
Oh, in that area. Okay.
Directly east.
Okay.
The new water. Northwest Rural Water. Buildings being constructed a little bit to the north. He's going to build 2 four-unit contractor shops, storage.
Storage sheds, storage units.
Yeah. Okay. Not mini storage, but more of the contractor storage.
That type.
Shop type units. So 2 of those buildings, 4 units each that are going in there. People may have seen other work going on around town. For example, the Trailhead Restaurant going in on Beck Avenue, the former Buffalo Jump Winery, I believe. Mm-hmm. In there. That's getting close. They're coming in for sign approval tomorrow with P&Z. Another project, the former Whitlock Motor Site up there on Stampede.
Mm-hmm.
We have an investment firm remodeling that. That'll be their new office space.
Oh, okay.
So there's additional shifting that I can't say names at this point, but it looks like even though there's a lot of shifting, the retail spaces seem to be staying full. So number of building permits are steady for this month compared to prior years. So it seems like things are kind of going along.
Do you get a lot of inquiries about empty buildings in Cody from outside entities? People wanting to come to Cody? Are there a lot of those?
A lot.
Depends on how you define a lot.
Yeah. I'd say most of our growth and development, like most communities, is from within.
From within, okay.
So, yes, there are outside ones coming or inquiring. We don't have a lot of vacant buildings. That can be an issue, you know, people trying to find space.
And it's expensive to build, so, yeah, sure.
But a lot of times, you know, the economic growth is from those that are already here, you know, adding employees, needing larger spaces, so forth.
Barry, what kind of update can you give us on the Public Works Director search? Where is that at right now?
We've been advertising the position stating open till filled. And right now we're moving forward with 5 finalists that we're doing the background checks and phone interviews with. We hope to be able to move forward with all 5 finalists. We're tentatively set the dates for the interview process August 23rd and 24th. The 23rd would be some open house, the candidates being able to meet the department, the Public Works Division, city employees, and various citizens within the city of Cody. Of course, Thursday evening, the 23rd, is our last concert in the park, so we'll probably have the candidates there in the park with our ice cream social for citizens to meet them. And then on Friday, the 24th, we'll have panels doing interviews with the 5 finalists. We'll have the department heads as one panel, a citizens panel, and then a one-on-one interview with myself. So right now we're doing some background checks and looking at references for 5 finalists, and hopefully they will be able to all come in to Cody on the 23rd and 24th. 1 candidate from Montana, 1 from Idaho, 2 from Wyoming, and I believe 1 from Michigan.
So they're a good variety there.
Good variety there, mostly all in the Rocky Mountain area except for Michigan, but all extensive experience in municipal work and have a PE.
And remind us of the next step in the 17th and Sheridan study. Where are we at with that? They had that forum, what was it, last month, but where are we at with that? Just waiting?
They met with the citizens to get input, some of their issues and some of their ideas.
So we're just waiting now.
Waiting, you're right. They're taking a look at the data. The next step would be a conference call with the Urban Systems Committee to give them an update on all the data and all the information they got back from the citizens and compile some of the options that the citizens feel would be a good solution for the issue. And then I believe they'll be able to move forward with another public hearing, I believe, in September or October with the citizens.
Okay, there they are, the city of Cody, Barry Cook. We've got Todd Stoll and Rick Manchester. Gentlemen, thanks for coming today. Appreciate it.
Welcome.
Thanks a lot. And that will do it for Speaker Piece. Thanks for listening today. I'm Darren Dudrick. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.
This has been Speak Your Piece with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM KODI Cody, and 1140 AM KZMQ Grable.